All right, guys, call to order Highlight Rural Fire District. Reminder to the public that meetings are being recorded. Is there any public comment on matters not included in the agenda? Okay. Highlight consent agenda. Anything that needs to be pulled, or do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes. All right, promotion of new captains.
Okay.
Staying on up. So we have one promotion to do this evening. This is, well, Chris, do you want to remind the board your name? How long you've been with us?
Yeah, I'm Chris Leeper. I've been here, I guess, pushing 4 years.
So Chris is going to be promoted to captain this evening, which, as you all well know, that is our command position, so that is much needed currently where we sit. Ironically, you know, Chris is a special individual to us. He's one of our very few members of the fire department that is a district resident as well. So we greatly appreciate having Chris. So we have his captain's badge here, which Mr. Dahl has. So we're going to try not to stab him with.
He's also a man of many words. I'm talking.
Introduction of district trustees, staff, and volunteers. Ken, do you want us to say something?
No, just introduce yourself, I guess.
Okay.
Ken Biderman.
Jason Jarrett.
Justin Miller.
Walt Zydak.
And then?
Staff, Brian McLean, the fire chief.
Cheryl Wyman, I'm the administrative assistant. And this is Chris Dahlhauser, our assistant fire chief.
Perfect. Okay.
And then we also have Colin Prado in the back. He is division chief of maintenance.
Nice. Installation of new trustees.
So we have a renewal of a trustee, Jason Jarrett, who was put into place by acclamation. Nobody ran against him. And so he is continuing his role as a trustee for the next 3 years.
Thank you.
You didn't even have to threaten anybody, I bet.
My, how time flies.
Good thing, because I forgot to vote tomorrow.
Me too.
Okay. Election of board officers.
This is just up to you. If the pattern holds, you usually just
nominate
keep your
same slate. Yeah.
Roles, unless somebody wants to change.
Somebody want to be treasurer?
You're not allowed to leave.
Wow. I thought I'd just throw it out there.
Wow. No, nobody wants to move to keep the same treasurer by acclamation.
Well, we must do the whole slate. I'd make the motion to maintain the slate as currently what currently exists.
All those in favor?
Do we need a second?
Get a second.
Do I have a second?
Second.
You have a second.
Okay.
See, maybe any public comment? Any staff comment?
Okay. Cheryl?
Ken?
Yes.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Justin?
We give him that opportunity. All right. Board presentation and discussion of current and possible future district finances, issues, and concerns. So, JJ here is a really good public speaker, and he is going to kind of give you guys a state of the district.
We are proud of this fire department and the services that get provided here. The service level is consistent throughout the distance, throughout the district, and it's because of the diligent efforts and training of the staff that we have here and the talent that we attract. And that's even despite the pretty fluid nature we have with the college students and the shortage of district members. The EMS services, EMS transport services have grown with the ambulance transport program. It's brought in a consistent amount of revenue from 2024 and will pay for itself with almost $50,000 in revenue to date for the fiscal year of 2025. The district is financially healthy due to actions by the board and the chief.
And the staff.
And especially during the challenging economic times with all the costs that are rising in the inflation. We are consistently under budget in the majority of categories, which allows us to do some extra work in planning and getting ahead of things. Our challenges is going to be the growth, just like everything in this county. The more calls and the more needs of our residents, necessitating continuing upgrades to the facilities, keeping up with competitive salaries in the county for our staff, and the rising cost for everything, especially in safety equipment and fuel, and the ability to recruit and retain that talent pool of volunteers, which keeps us in the model that we like to be in, because nobody wants to try and pay for paid staffing in fire trucks. That, Mr. President, is the state of the district. Perfect. Mr. Chairman.
Perfect. We're doing awesome. Everybody's, you know, staying protected. We have a great staff. They make it really easy on us. I'm proud to volunteer with these guys and help support you guys as much as we can. So thank you guys for this year, and we're excited for this year going forward. So, any public comment or questions? Okay. Anything staff wants to mention?
No, I mean, the state of the district kind of covered it, but I mean, we're doing very well. Our recruitment numbers are the best we've ever seen. It doesn't come without challenges from the growth. I mean, we consistently are on the five-year average of 30% increase over what we were the previous 5 years, and on top of that...
Inactivity or people?
Inactivity. Call volume, population growth. And as JJ mentioned, inflation, some numbers that the International Association of Fire Chiefs put out is in the last, since really 2020, the fire service has been hit with nearly 58% inflationary increase in PPE and equipment in general. So basically what we're paying for our PPE, as well as a lot of the tools we use, and even effects apparatus, is basically seeing almost a 58% increase since 2020. Whether you look at that as a supply chain issue or just the cost of doing business these days, but it is continuously getting more expensive.
Question, Mr. Chair. Have you been following the national legislation on the fire apparatus manufacturers and whether or not that's going or what's happening with it?
I've been following it. I haven't heard much more than just the vagueness of it, if it'll actually go through or not. It is a conversation we are having amongst the state and trying to do it in the Western fire chiefs. Is in a way where we're doing it to ourselves by agencies who order such customized fire apparatus that are driving the cost up on them. And if there would ever be an agreed upon effort to standardize the fire apparatus fleet, it's believed that those costs would come down. But the fact that people want to customize their fire engines to the degree that they do is causing them to be as expensive as they are.
Okay. Review bylaws.
We didn't have any requests to change any bylaws. Moving down to the review of board policies, Trustee Jarrett made a slight change to the governance policy. And it was in your packets and highlighted the change that he made. So I would just need a motion to approve that change.
Move to approve.
Second.
Oh.
We'll go with Ken. JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes. Discussion salary comparisons.
So you guys got, and I apologize for being a little late, the current comparisons we do with the other paid agencies around us. So this is, we do this every year. It's kind of a yearly review of how competitive we are being with other agencies. You can see it's kind of been consistent across the board. Sorry, I did not print this off, and look how rough that blue was to read. But like I said, it's been consistent. We're, as we just have been for as long as we've had paid staff, on the lower end of things in both salary and benefits. But we're chipping away at it year by year.
Can you tell me if Big Sky, Central Valley, and Bozeman pay the Social Security, or are they putting that in? Are they taking that and putting it into their salary?
I don't know.
Central Valley's putting it into their salary.
Do we pay Social Security, or do we put it into the salary?
No, it goes to Montana, right?
Yeah, FERS, yeah.
I don't believe so. I think it's just
the contribution to the FERS
program.
The state pension.
What did we do last year?
Last year was a 10% raise for each paid position.
Okay. Do we have any board comment?
Yeah, as we get down to budget discussion, that will be a component in the budget discussion.
Okay. Something we want to table this till we get there, or?
Yes.
I think we don't have a decision item at for salary comparison, just discussion, so we can address any proposals with regard to increases during the budget presentation.
Okay. Perfect. Let's move to number 9. Discussion and decision fiscal year 2026 preliminary budget approval.
Yeah, and I'd like to preface this part of it. I've been awfully busy this spring, and I really want to thank Brian and Cheryl for pulling a lot of the weight and putting this together. We had a couple of meetings and so on, but these guys it wasn't a lot of work on my part. to put a lot of this together. So I want to voice my appreciation for that.
Just trying to make your job easy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Do you want me, Walt?
Yeah, if you want to go through, and then we can, I think most of it's pretty straightforward, I'll have to say. I think, you know, the one big change is going to be associated with the discussion surrounding personnel. And then the other big item that will likely be further addressed will be the interlocal agreement, proposal interlocal agreement with Fort Ellis. Other than that, there are some tweaks that are associated with adjustments that we noticed in, you know, just tracking our actual versus budgeted amounts. So Brian can take it from there. He's got it all dialed in.
Yeah, so if you look at the expense category, of the preliminary of our budget, not the county budget, this one. And so you see the estimated fiscal year 26 line item, and then in comparison to the 25 budget. So just mainly public safety expenses is a $1,000 increase of inflationary adjustment. As Walt mentioned, the personnel services, you'll see an increase of $118,676. So what all happened, and you do have it in my notes, which is this spreadsheet. What we're proposing in there is, I get another for this next coming year. Once starting October 1st is potentially, if it's agreed upon, the start of the interlocal agreement with the Fort Ellis Fire Service Area, that would basically put in a 10% raise for current paid positions into that starting October 1st. And then the other big change is adding another training position, another full-time position for training. And that's to kind of make an effort to what we've discussed of expanding our academies to bring on additional firefighters over what we're currently doing. You will notice, so with that, the reason that you're only seeing $118,000 change, because the new position is $126,000, is basically we've eliminated, we had that $160,000 overtime budget. We pulled that back down to a $25,000 safety cap, or just kind of safety budget for overtime. And then basically that has been transitioned into a new full-time position. So the increase is $118,000 over last year. We're looking at incentives, doing some adjustments to our resident firefighter program from what we had been doing through a per diem, going to more of a stipend program. So the increase there. We kind of hit the cap at fire education classes, the supplies, so bringing up a number there a little bit. One thing that we discussed in previous meetings is our accounting services has increased, so we made an adjustment for that. And then firefighter physicals, safety equipment are all adjustments to address bringing on additional firefighters. So obviously it's going to cost more in physicals to get everybody physicals every year, and then to outfit them in gear as well.
So $200,176.
That's the total budget increase. Yeah, it's $200,176. So then if you look at that fiscal year 26, that basically says what our total expenses will be, what we're basically putting towards capital for this year, and then when we figure in the bond for the current station, we basically come with the net operations of $417,000. And compared to what we have done for capital, really what we're looking at addressing for this year is a replacement of our self-contained breathing apparatus air cascade system at the Cottonwood Fire Station.
Yeah, so hopefully this will be a year where we can rebuild our capital fund for apparatus. And I guess the other component, and we'll address this as we get closer or when we evaluate the final budget. This budget does not include revenue associated with the interlocal agreement from Fort Ellis. And so, assuming everything goes according to plan, and it seems as though we're pretty well on a good track right now in terms of that agreement.
What was that total amount?
Since it's not going to be a full year, this first year it's going to be $168,000 for a full year. Under the current contract, it would be $215,000.
Okay. But we didn't include that in this preliminary budget. I mean, we're about 99% there.
Okay.
But just to leave ourselves a little more latitude, we didn't include that revenue component.
Okay. So, Walt, public or board comment on you're our guy, you gotta tell us.
You know, about the only thing, just in terms of full disclosure, is that, like I said, we're about 99% sure that the interlocal, that we're gonna have that revenue increase associated with our interlocal agreement with Fort Ellis. And so the one thing that we are including in here is that 10% raise, and part of that is associated, you know, as a response to that interlocal agreement. And so I don't know if the board wants to leave more latitude or if we're comfortable, should, on the off chance that the interlocal agreement does not come to fruition, the question I would put out there, is the board comfortable with that 10% raise regardless?
So that's gonna get us right in line with Central Valley almost. 138.6 with a 10% gets you to 152.460.
Yeah, the only thing I mentioned this to Walt, these are current numbers, and almost every agency is gonna see an increase July 1.
Okay.
So I don't know what Central Valley is gonna take, but we'll at least be closer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, like I said, I think we're all but there in terms of bringing the interlocal to fruition. So I think that'll help with the, you know, being able to maintain contributions to capital apparatus and stuff, you know, trying to maintain that balancing act that we've been trying to stand on one leg on the ball and turn the plates, you know. So I think we're in pretty good shape that way, and you know, puts us in a fair position with staff.
Okay.
But just in the interest of full disclosure, that is something that the board should take into consideration.
Okay.
Other than that, I think everything else is pretty, you know, the new position and that being offset mostly with reduction in overtime.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everything else is the small changes in some of the other line items are just associated with the data that's been collected for this year.
Okay.
You know, relatively small.
Okay. Any other board comment? Any public comment?
Question. Excuse me. The agreement with Fort Ellis is for what basic purpose? Just briefly.
Brian?
So it's an effort to essentially share resources across the agency. So Fort Ellis is facing a shortfall of losing their volunteer fire chief along with several of their volunteer training position. So they're facing the need to basically hire that because they don't have any volunteers who are interested in the positions. So it's an effort on our part to hopefully lower our costs a little bit to taxpayers by having Fort Ellis pick up a portion and then basically sharing our staff between the two agencies.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion? I'll make a motion to approve the preliminary budget as presented.
Which also takes care of number 8.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yeah.
Justin?
Yes. Possible partnership with Fort Ellis Fire Service Area.
So there's not much new currently. So the draft interlocal agreement, like I mentioned last month, has been reviewed by Susan Swimley, who we retain as legal advice for that. She requested some edits to the drafter at Fort Ellis of the agreement, and they are kind of in agreeance with what changes she wanted to see in that. If the current status of it, it was going to go to Fort Ellis's board to review, and if they were happy with it, then it'll hopefully next month it'll come back to you guys to review. I did have a conversation with Susan in regards to some of your questions that you had from last month, as far as the kind of the question, you know, if it would ever come to a situation where Fort Ellis would lose their volunteers, and would the expectation that Highlight would kind of essentially provide volunteers to them. And kind of Susan advice was more or less kind of to cross that bridge if that actually comes to a current situation, that really that would, if that is what occurs, it would require basically, in her opinion, a whole new agreement, that what we're talking about with the current state of the interlocal agreement is, you know, more of the oversight chief positions, as well as maintenance and training and recruitment. That she said, if it comes to the situation where our firefighters have to respond to their calls because they don't have any firefighters anymore, one, it's really the responsibility of the Fort Ellis Fire Service Area Board to address that. And it goes kind of go back to that conversation of liability-wise for both areas. And her advice was kind of that, you know, Fort Ellis is still a jurisdiction under state law, and they have a board that's responsible for that jurisdiction. So in the event that for whatever reason they wouldn't have any firefighters anymore, it ultimately comes back to the responsibility of that board to address that issue. Whether that come back to you all to, you know, draft a new agreement if they wanted to address it through that way. But that was kind of her advice on it.
So in terms of chronology then of events, their board is meeting to discuss the interlocal agreement and then a discussion and decision item in that regard?
For their board, yes.
For their board.
Yeah.
And so does it make sense for us to include a discussion and decision item for our next month's meeting? Or what type of timeline would you suggest?
We can aim for that if the agreement is ready. Mm-hmm. Ready for that. I will also say on I do have a date of June 3rd. I'm going to go over to Fort Ellis's training night for a discussion with all of their current volunteers of this agreement and what that really all means for with them and for them.
So I know in some of our preliminary discussions there was also some discussion regarding the possibility of having a joint board meeting between mm-hmm. the two boards. Would it make sense to, in terms of timing, to have that occur before a discussion and decision item for Highlight, or what are your thoughts in that regard?
We certainly could. I guess it, whatever the preference of the board would be, if I mean, so roughly the draft agreement calls for an effective date of October 1st, so we do have some time. That if we want to try to aim for a joint meeting with them in June, and I don't know if you want to try to make a decision on that night of the agreement, or put it into, sometimes we go meet in July just based on summer activity and lack of agenda items. But I guess that whatever the board would like.
Well, are there any objectives that would need to be, or questions that would need to be addressed in a joint meeting? Would there be any benefit to it other than getting to know one another? Or?
Well, certainly, and I think it's in the terms of the agreement that, I can't remember off the top of my head now, if it's quarterly, that there at least needs to be a meeting to kind of review the current state. But I think kind of a preemptive meeting to the start of the agreement to kind of understand that would be good.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
I'd be very curious to make sure we get them to air their expectations mm-hmm. out loud and make sure that jives with the agreement and with our expectations.
So would it be, if we, one possibility would be to have a joint meeting in June, and then if we didn't hold a July meeting, would it, we crowd anything by going to the August meeting for our discussion and decision, even though that's also at the same time we're doing final budget?
I don't think it'd be any worse than this meeting.
Yeah,
as far as crowding it goes.
Yeah, that'd be my.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess maybe if you wanted to run it by.
Sure. Yeah, I'll reach out to Dan.
See if we could have a joint meeting.
Yep.
And if they'd like to do it here, or we could do the courthouse thing like we did in
sure.
the old gray sourdough days or something. Whatever.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'd be good just to get to know everybody.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Because we've had committee meetings and stuff, but.
Yeah. And they have a new trustee that started this spring. Hmm. And I believe, well, they have a newer trustee. I think she's been on for about a year.
Okay. Ray Fire Station.
There's really been no change. The only thing I will mention about this is, it kind of goes into my chief's report a little bit, but I did meet with the Triple Tree HOA earlier this month, and it was more of just a homeowners association meeting to discuss kind of the fire district and our response and wildfire and everything else. But I did, as part of that, kind of just gave an overview of, you know, brief financial statement of where we are, and did pitch them the idea of when this bond for the station sunsets, of potentially going to ask the voters to support the Ray Fire Station replacement. And it was very well received. They all, I don't know what percentage, it was a well-attended meeting. I don't know how many people are actually in their HOA, but I would say a majority was there, and they were all in support of it, and in fact offered anything they can do to help when it comes time for the ask to get the word out there for what the project is. Nice. So that was positive.
Yeah, so I think if we can pursue any more opportunities with HOAs that way, yeah, search those out.
Which HOA was that?
Triple Tree.
Oh.
Yeah.
Up on the hill right there.
Skateboard park.
Yeah.
Okay.
The meeting with the city on Ray Station. I wanted to strategize that for a second.
Okay.
We've kind of discussed, we ran out of road fire chief to fire chief, and there's enough potential for bad if we don't coordinate that or cooperate on stations on the West End that will be bad for both of us. That we thought we'd go meet with the city manager, the new city manager. Any further thoughts on the politics or socialization or strategy that we want to do with that? Who should go? What are the topics?
Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel. I mean, I'm happy to if Chief Waldo is brought into that, but maybe at least the start meeting, keep the fire chiefs out of it, because we're fire chiefs and we have our biases and that kind of stuff. I think being, you know, elected official to city manager conversation would be a good place to go.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with what JJ is suggesting there in terms of it just makes sense from a resource use standpoint that there is some kind of plan in place, because we know as things grow, there, you know, somebody's going to get absorbed, and it would certainly make more sense to have, if you have a resource like this, a new resource, that you don't have another one directly across the street, and you're spending taxpayer dollars to do that. It just, to me,
it would drive me nuts.
It would drive me nuts too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to have that discussion and have some planning in place.
And I don't know that you can explain that to a taxpayer. Mm-hmm. And they have a better public information, public relations machine than we do. Mm-hmm.
So do you have some insight into how to start that conversation?
I do. I think we ought to keep it at the board level to the city manager. So I'm thinking maybe we have Cheryl reach out to the city manager's planner or assistant and try and get us a date. Mm-hmm. Instead, I could call Chuck and we could make it happen. Mm-hmm. But I think we'd like to keep this.
Yeah, follow the right food chain.
Right. And one or two of us, I'm glad to, but should the chairman be there, or is that? Justin, if I buy you lunch?
No, I'll come. Yeah, yeah, I just need to know when.
We just have to schedule. Set a date, yeah.
Yeah.
So the meeting would be with yourselves and
the city manager.
City.
And just the city manager.
Chuck.
Okay.
We're not saying you can't. If you can phrase it that we've already run down the road, fire chief side, we'd like to talk at the next level up without that, that would be best.
Has there been any Bozeman discussion about the West End since?
So they ran a bond that failed.
Right.
And that was to put their fourth fire station somewhere near Billion, so fairly close to where we are.
They already own that land, or?
I don't know. I don't even know if they own the land at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like strategic. So,
what have they talked? Have you heard any rumblings since that went away?
So they ran it as a joint effort with the Bozeman Police Department. And I think from the fire side, the only issues I've heard that they believe that they might have been able to pass it if they just ran it with the fire department rather than grouping it with the police department. But given the current taxing situation the area is in, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was more the taxing thing more than it was the police department.
Yeah. But I haven't heard anything. It'd be a question for Chuck is if they're going to try to run that again or what their thoughts are.
Either way, there's going to be a fire station out there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's regardless of what it is today or 5 years from now, they're going to have to put a fire station out west. And it just would be really stupid that we didn't figure a way to not make it right across the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit north.
That's what I'm worried about.
Make a lot more sense.
If, north and west.
Yeah, if we have to do some kind of boundary drop thing or a shared response area, whatever, there's a better way to take care of the mm-hmm. customers. Because when we build that, we're not going to be a 10-minute get-out time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? which is the only thing they've got on us.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely worth pursuing the discussion.
Okay.
If you don't ask to go to the dance, you're not going to likely go.
Yeah. I'm going the rest of this week, but next week is fairly open. I mean, I'm the retired guy. You're the one that has, you and Chuck have the...
It's going to have to be into next month for me.
That's fine.
Next week, we're gone to California. Okay. I'm good there. I'm good probably this week if we do.
I'm going to Glasgow.
But otherwise, yeah, next week's not good.
And a tough tell. Let's just see what Chuck's got.
Yeah, and it's a holiday week kind of too.
Yeah.
Every day's a holiday. Every weekend's a vacation.
When can I get a job?
Oh, that's right.
Cool. Firefighter Association report.
Thank you for having us. That's a standing agenda item. My name is Evan Jones. I'm one of the directors on the board. So just saying thank you for having us here again. Yeah. Not too much news. We got a shipment of shirts in since the last time that we spoke, and they seem to be very well received by the individuals on the department. We've also put together a couple of orders for some of the alum volunteers who have been with us in the past, and so everybody seems to be receiving those t-shirts well, and we will be getting shirts for you guys as well coming soon.
Cool.
Unfortunately, they weren't able to come in before today, so a little bummed out about that. But as we look forward to the summer, we're putting in some work for the Wildland Barbecue, trying to get some more community involvement going on with that, just with members in our district and also just trying to get more people to show up. So that's moving good. And then looking to the fall, we have some peer support trainings that we're looking to send some of our volunteers to, so that way we can really get our wellness committee set up going well. No other news other than that, though.
No. Question.
Yeah.
What date is the barbecue?
June 25th.
Thanks.
Thank you. Fire chief's report.
Okay, so 62 incidents in April brings us to 213 for the year total. Roster sitting at 43. With Mr. Leeper now promoted, that brings us up one additional captain. So we're continuing to work on that. We have two people potentially slated to start the training process this summer to keep addressing that issue. resident program is in a little bit of a state of flux, just with some people who have moved on. But with our new recruit class that's going through right now, we should be nearly full here in the next couple of weeks again. Non-resident shifts are continuing as they are. Training's been going as normal. Mentioned the academy is moving along. We are down to 7. We did lose one person in the academy. Talked about my meeting with the Triple Tree HOA, and just so the board is aware of that, it's a continuous effort on my part to try to connect with the HOAs. I connected with Green Hills earlier this year, but it is a bit of a challenge, I will say, to actually, one, get in contact with them, and then two, get them to agree to put me on the agenda or to invite me to the meeting. So I will keep working on that. The EMS discussion in the county, it's ongoing. There hasn't really been much movement on it. Things are a little bit stalled in the county right now with waiting on county attorney's review of the establishment of a district, but we haven't had any movement on it. Chris and I kind of still sit on all the chairs and boards, no real change there. No firefighter injuries in the month of April. The Ray Fire Station water line project is complete. So the water is flowing at the station again. It's going to be a spendy bill, and even a little more spendier than we thought once they started digging. We ran into utility locate issues. Our gas line into the building was untraceable. So Northwestern Energy had to basically run tracer through it. And then as they continued to dig, they found more utilities that were not properly locatable. So they ended up having to utilize the back truck for excavation. But we're probably going to be around the $15,000 mark for the total project. But the entire water line from the curb stop into the building's been replaced. And now the utilities are located in the ground where everything is. I think it's just a fact of that building was originally built in the 70s. It had an update or an expansion in the 90s. It's just an old building. Water tender 6 is still currently out of service. We are expecting, though, Hughes Fire Equipment to be back with Colin here, hopefully tomorrow, to actually get that truck put back together so we can get it back into service. The new engine 6.2 had an issue at the end of April with the rear axle basically coming out of alignment, but it's covered under warranty. Best Rate Diesel Repair did the repair on it. It's back in service. And Pierce through Hughes Fire Equipment is covering everything on that because the truck's under warranty. The used engine, if you guys would like to, after we wrap up here, has been delivered. It's here. Colin's working on getting everything plugged in and put together on it. So hopefully be in service here in a week or so. But it's here if you guys would like to go take a look at it.
That's true.
That's all I got.
So the utilities, they were active utilities that had to be located, or were they some that had been all active?
I think both. They were probably old stuff that was abandoned, as well as the new stuff. But, you know, like the Northwestern Energy said, it's probably when that gas line was put in that it just didn't have the locate wire put in with it.
So the pad was put in.
Yeah. So it's a fact of it. It's an old building.
Mm-hmm. But there were some other, like CenturyLink or that, what all else was it underneath there that?
Do you know any of the other ones they ran into?
So we ran into some as they kind of zagged. So they had to come into the back of the building. So when they zagged across, they thought they'd have some more openings to get through the utilities running east-west, and they just didn't.
Mm.
So that's where the back truck was really used, is to kind of zag that. If we would have come up all that way too, we would have run into more issues of getting the water line resurfaced into the building and all that kind of stuff too. So we kind of had to, we had to zag to get to where it came in originally.
Cost of doing business.
It'd be great if we go a year without a significant station repair.
No, water should be good for 50 years now, right?
Right.
Trustee activities.
I will, under trustee activities, and I know Jason was plugged into the trustee association. If you guys aren't aware, so you are members, we have a membership to the trustee association. It has been in the past, the trustees have ran a conference on their own, but it's now going to be a standard, if you will, Montana Fire Service Convention. So it is the Fire Service Trustees, which you're a member of, the State Fire Chiefs Association, who puts on the annual convention, and the County Fire Wardens. Mm-hmm. So all three agencies are going to be doing the same convention now, and that is in October in Butte. I have budgeted, generally we try to take 5 people from the fire department. You all do have a budget for trustee training. If anybody is interested in it, let me know and we can get you plugged in.
Okay. All right. Announcements. June 25th barbecue.
Do we have a time? Is it the 4-7:30-ish?
I believe so. Okay.
Next meeting is set for June 17th, and I will not be here.
I won't be here. Wait a minute. Yeah, I should be here.
It's Harper's birthday.
Yeah, I shouldn't be here then.
I will not be here.
Oh, that's a problem.
Well, that's a problem.
You're dropping fast.
I don't, if you guys want to do a joint meeting, I don't know when Fort Ellis meets. Let me see if I can find out quick.
24th would be the next suggestion. I would be able to put a meeting together before that. Yeah. Like if we went to the 10th, I couldn't get a meeting together.
And I'll be gone most of the week of the 9th and most of the week of the... Well, actually, I'll be leaving on the 19th. Be gone into... Well, yeah, there's a couple of weeks there, I'll be fouled up.
What is the 24th?
Dicey.
Crazy.
But it's just me, so...
Yeah, I won't be here for sure. I'll be in.
It's just me and Walt.
Yeah.
No, I can be here the 24th.
So we'd have to check with Pete.
Or if you did a joint in like, I don't know, maybe they meet on a Wednesday or something.
So it looks like they meet the third Thursday, which would be June 19th.
I'm not here.
Yeah, I'm leaving that Thursday morning early.
I'm here.
Maybe we push to July?
Well, the night, if Pete was available, you'd be able to do it, but yeah.
Like yeah, I mean, we can always shoot for the 19th if Pete's available. But if he's not available, we can just...
Shoot and go into July.
Go into July. For a lack of quorum.
It'd be July 15th. Or...
Yeah, if we want July 15th. Standard date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could look at that option, or you said they usually meet on a Thursday?
Third Thursday.
So we could do, we could look, consider 15th or 17th, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do we have a date?
If you want to see whether or not we do a joint one, you could get back to us.
And the night, and it just, two of us wouldn't be available on the 19th, but if that worked for everybody else, that, you know, you can still put it together if Pete's available.
Yeah, we would need Pete if we did that.
Right, to have a quorum.
Well, if you're having a joint board meeting to meet each other.
Yeah, it'd be better if all of us, yeah.
The majority were here?
Yep, that'd be a better idea. So the 15th or 17th would work for me. I don't know how that fits with everybody.
Of July.
Of July,
both
yeah.
Both work fine.
Those were open for me.
Okay, so we'll tentatively say 15th or the 17th, depending on Fort Ellis.
Yep. And then whether or not where you guys want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Thanks, guy. No, I don't.
Perfect. All right.
Okay.
And we are adjourned. Thank you, guys.